Time to join our expert on all things Vatican, Joan Lewis, who this week speaks to Linda Bordoni.
We start with Sunday, Joan, and Pope Benedict's visit to the Roman parish of St. John of the Cross.
And that's in the northern part of Rome. And it's interesting, I tried to find the statistic on it and couldn't, how many parishes he has visited. You know, John Paul would make a habit of, I think usually like Advent and Lent, of visiting Roman parishes, and did quite a number. Visited, I think, all but 18 or 20 of the total number of parishes in Rome, which I think is like 325. There's more churches than that, but actual parishes. So Pope Benedict went to this church, and it was really cute before he got there. You know, Mass began a little late because, as usual, he arrived, and people wanted to see him and hand him their babies, and he spent a lot of time with the faithful. As a matter of fact, a lot of the faithful, there were an estimated 20,000 people, and they had to watch it on megascreens outside, or a megascreen outside of the church. The Holy Father, as you would imagine, concentrated his talk on Lent, on this season of sacrifice, of reconciliation, how we have to make this sincere interior effort to reconcile ourselves. After talking about the Lenten season, another point the Holy Father made was this parish's involvement in the ecclesial movements. Ever since Vatican Council II, when the laity has been given a larger role in the church, I heard some interviews with the pastor, and I mean, they have 8, 9, 10 different ecclesial groups, groups for youth, groups for older people, many of the new communities that have come out since Vatican Council II. So the Pope stressed the fact that this parish community aims to promote the co-responsibility of all members of the people of God. And he said this requires a change of mentality, especially as regards laypersons, because they're not merely collaborators of the clergy, but, as he said again, co-responsible in the life of the church. An interesting morning, a wonderful morning, right, obviously, for parishioners. It always is.
And then he picked up this Lenten theme again during the Angelus.
Yes, he was back in Vatican City, appears at his study window as usual. He spoke about the season of Lent, but the point I want to highlight, because it seems to have so much to do with questions that people ask today, you look at the three earthquakes there have been in the last month, you look at Turkey and Chile and Haiti, and so many people say, you know, where was God? Let's take the very Catholic population of Haiti. You know, where was God in all this? Why does God let bad things happen to good people? And I think the Pope was trying to answer that question at the Angelus. He commented on the Gospel of Sunday, in which Jesus is asked about certain tragic events, the murder in the temple of certain Galileans by order of Pilate, and the collapse of a tower that killed passersby. And the Pope said, against the facile conclusion of considering evil as the effect of divine punishment, Jesus proclaims the innocence of God, who is good and cannot wish evil. Jesus warns in that story against thinking that calamities are the immediate consequence of the personal guilt of those who suffer them. And I know so many people think that. Or a parent whose child is ill, or, you know, some huge sickness. And they think, oh my gosh, the sins of the father. Well, that is not how God works. And really, I think it was one of the last lines the Pope said. He said, we must read human history with the eye of God, who always wants the good of his children, but sometimes allows them to be tried by pain in order to lead them to a greater good, which is very hard to understand when you're undergoing great pain or great loss. But if somehow we could put that in the back of our head and brain and think about it when the time comes.
And then on Monday, staying within the Lenten theme, aren't we, when Cardinal Sandri sent a letter to the bishops encouraging them to participate in a traditional Good Friday collection for the Holy Land. What is that?
Well, you know, every year, I'm not exactly sure, to be honest, when this began, but on Good Friday, a collection is taken up to be given to the Holy Land for the support of Christians there. I've seen it on trips to the Holy Land. Of course, I saw it recently in Iraq. The difficulties that Christians have, and so many of them just leaving their homelands to go elsewhere for a better life for their families and children. And this collection aims to try to help and build schools, keep people there, give them a quality education. And when the Cardinal announced the letter, he said that actually the letter this year was inspired by Pope Benedict's pilgrimage last May to the Holy Land in the footsteps of Jesus. So the cardinal really underscored the need to work tirelessly to guarantee a future for Christians in the place where, he said, the kindness and humanity of our Lord and Father first appeared.
And, okay, now we're on to Tuesday, and there was a communique from the press office, if I'm not mistaken, regarding the ongoing violence in Nigeria, which is very serious.
Yeah, actually, two big communiques, which really did kind of dominate the a lot of the other news this week.
Right.
You're right, there was the Nigeria violence, in which you had 500 Christians killed, and actually a cardinal from Abuja, the Archbishop of Abuja, and also Father Lombardi of the press office and Vatican Radio, both said, now, wait a minute here. This is not, as the media is tending to pick up, the Muslim versus Christian. It just so happens that the two clans, the tribal elements, if you will, that are clashing against one another, just coincidentally, you have one group that is Muslim and the other group is Christian simply by, so it's a social question. It is not a religious question. But, you know, once it's in people's mind, once you read the headlines, Muslims kill Catholics, or you know, whatever, something similar. Once you read the headline, that stays in your mind.
Right.
So the fact that it actually might be a social element of clan versus clan, oh, by the way, these are Muslims and these are Christians, people can't seem to forget that. So obviously, as the Pope, as the Church always does in a situation like this, you have an appeal for dialogue, and violence will never, ever get you anywhere. And the Pope said the same thing again regarding Nigeria at the end of the Wednesday audience on St. Bonaventure. And then the other statement.
You were referring to another
statement,
yes.
Yeah, and this is really, really the one that has dominated all the headlines. You know, they say in the media, certainly in the States, if it bleeds, it leads. In other words, if it's really, really bad news, it's going to lead on your front page or whatever. And I'm afraid that's what the Tuesday story was about, because actually we have followed in recent months the reportage of cases of sexual abuse in Ireland. And now, obviously, it turns out that in Germany, in the Pope's native Germany, in Austria, and in the Netherlands, there are similar situations. And Father Lombardi issued a quite a lengthy explanatory note about how the Church there is handling this. The main institutions concerned demonstrated their desire for immediate action, for transparency, and so forth, and inviting the victims to speak out. And I think one of the points that Father Lombardi made in the statement towards the end was the fact that, you know, we're hearing so much about this problem in the Catholic Church. There are other institutions in the world, without obviously specifically naming them, there are other institutions that are having the same problem, but the one that seems to be focused on really by the media is abuse in the Catholic Church, which is right.
Well,
because
the Pope himself has been very strong in saying that he will absolutely withstand no tolerance whatsoever as regards any reports.
Oh, sure. One priest in the world who had abused one child is still one too many.
One too many.
So to handle this, and of course it's very sad, so much of the German, what has happened in Germany was right in the Pope's own Bavaria. One thing happened at a school, obviously the choir school in Regensburg, which for 30 years, from 64 to 94, had been led by his brother. Now, it seems that all the cases predate that. And his brother said he'd heard of violence. In other words, like physical slapping people. Because when they, at the time, I think probably in a lot of countries in the world, in the 50s, 60s, and so forth, before that, corporal punishment was an allowed rule. Now you have government stepping in and saying, wait a minute, you can't have that kind of punishment in the school. But it went beyond that, and obviously the Pope's brother said he knew about nothing regarding sexual abuse. That did not reach his ears. So we have to hope that that kind of thing, first of all, stops, obviously,
of
the
course.
Abuse. And that the victims in particular are given the care and the love and the understanding that they need.
Absolutely. Now, finally, shall we end with the Wednesday audience, Joan, and an appeal by the Pope?
And we had the Wednesday audience, and the appeal was actually, it did refer to two things. First of all, briefly, actually, he prayed for the victims of the earthquake in Turkey. I think it had happened only the preceding day, all the victims and their families, assuring his closeness and prayers. And then again, he did speak very, very heartfelt words about the situation in Nigeria. And he said, this didn't even spare defenseless children. And he said, I issue a heartfelt appeal to stop violence. It doesn't resolve conflicts. It only causes tragic circumstances and causes other violence. So he asked for the peaceful coexistence of all peoples. And sometimes you really have to say when you read the papers who's listening, you know, he's got this huge microphone. He's got the world press bringing his words to the world, and okay, who's listening? It kind of really is an appalling thing to think that people don't listen to the voice of reason and a voice of love, too.
Thank you very, very much, Joan.
See you next week.
See you next week.
And my thanks there go to both Joan Lewis and Linda Bordoni.